can change your whole perspective of life. Why you are alive, why you are here. I remember long ago, probably over 7 years ago, when Pastor Gene was in Pakistan and I was seeking for the truth. And he was having a Bible conference in Pakistan in Multan City. I went there, sit, and just listen. And guess what? Changed my life. Changed my perspective of God, about Christ, about eternal life. I used to teach you can lose your salvation. I can say honestly, I used to bombard people with scriptures I was not understanding correctly. But when he taught the word of God with the examples and the simplicity, and I can say, when lights turn out and everywhere you can see every little speck of dust and things and the things that is not appropriate on the floor, just that happened in my life, and I was so amazed and said to Lord, thank you so much for sending. Thank you sending Pastor Gene into Pakistan, and I was taking specially. That is personally for me to change my life, to change my view, to change the message that I got wrong way. So just listen. When you listen the voice of God, it can bless not only you, your community, your family, and beyond. Family can go countries and borders. And that's what happened with my wife. Even before I ever knew her, she came to Pakistan listening that quiet voice. The voice was telling her, you go. And she was questioning herself, why I am going? I'm not special. I'm not missionary. I don't have the degree. I don't have the skill. Why I am going? God had a plan. And the plan was she will come from United States to Pakistan and meet me. Because I was waiting. Yesterday, the passage Pastor Gene was talking about, Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight in the Lord, and He surely will give you the desires of your heart. But the condition is delight. The Hebrew word, nag, intimately. The word delight, similar way Jesus is using in the Gospel of John chapter 15, abide in me, and then you will bear fruit. Then you will be the same way a light that cannot live in a darkness. So just listen, and that's what happened. She listened to God. I listened to God, holding on to that passage and waiting and waiting, waiting, even receiving so many arranged marriages, invitation in my family saying, this family want you to marry to their daughter to become their son-in-law. And I every time pray, and answer was no. So maybe you are struggling and trying to figure out who is your partner, what to do. I can't handle because the pressure from my school, from my community, and saying you are a widow if you don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Or sometime you must have 3 or 4 girlfriend under your belt. That will make you man. No, that will make you punk. That will make you unwise. Or if we go a little bit graphic, idiot. So if you want to be a man, in Bible there's so many stories of a man who have integrity, honor, love, defend the poor, and especially the women. I will encourage all young men, just hold on to that scripture. That scripture is not just only for Faisal, not only for somebody else. That scripture works for everybody. Delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. He will direct your path. He will bring your rib that He took long ago from your, for you to be your partner. So just wait. It's better to wait than sorry. It's better to have a patient than saying, yeah, I listened to the peer pressure and I got involved and I ruined many lives. Don't do it. You don't have to have experience to tell the story. You can tell a story about your life that God can use you without going into the mud to get dirty and then say, hey, let me tell you how I got clean. Maybe you're already dirty. Don't worry. Jesus is the pure for water. He is the water of life, can change you to a snow, like a white, like a snow. So let's pray and enjoy some moments of God and just recall the promises. And also maybe you have some hurt. Maybe you are insecure. Maybe you are not feeling good. Maybe you are put down. Maybe people are saying you should live the way that world is living. So all those voices, all those commands, all those peer pressure statements and phrases bombarding you. So let's put that aside. As Hebrews chapter 12 said, let not easily entangle ourselves with the sins that is surrounded us. Let's put our eyes on those who have gone before us. How they did it, let's take their examples and do it in a simple way, by faith. By faith. Father God, we come before You, asking Your wisdom that You have given to us in a written form to understand Your invisible counsel through the Holy Spirit, through that small voice that is like a pier sometimes, sometimes like a hammer, sometimes like a honey, sometimes like a sword, just around us, in us, and just trying to get our attention. So Father God, Your Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us to the truth as we talk about the heroes. Talk about the men who have integrity. Talk about the men who stand up for their faith. And as we talk about the people who completely trust in You when even they were not sure what to expect. So Father, I pray for every individual, especially young people who have a long life to go, those who have many decisions to make. Your Holy Spirit is always there to help. So lead us, bless us, guide us, and I'm thankful, Father, for Your Spirit that lead Jean come to Pakistan, that lead my wife Carrie come to Pakistan, to the unknown territory, to glorify You. And thank You, Father, for bringing me here. Lead my mind and my soul and my lips to help. And I need Your help. In Your Son Jesus' name, be glorified in me, known in this time and throughout the camp. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we've been learning about pain. As we were talking yesterday, no pain, no gain. Life is full of pain and suffering and trial and temptations. In Pakistan, my father used to say, or still sometimes say, pain on your body as a mark of jewelry on the new bride. When Pakistani women get married, that is her desire to have a jewelry that admire her beauty, and somebody can look at and saying, wow, she's beautiful. So when believers have so many scars, so many injuries, so many, you know, woundedness in his soul, my dad say often, that is your, you know, a jewelry. That is your beauty. That is your experiences. That is your, you know, skills that you went through that and you learn it. Sometimes you learn it wrong way, sometimes you learn in the right way. So we are going to talk about Paul. Because when we read the passage, we are going to look at. So if you have your Bible, please open 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, 16, 17, and 18. So we will read that and learn some truth for ourselves, how Paul did it. Or maybe you have a question. Is that true? This guy who's writing, is that just imagination or really took place? So let's figure out. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Paul is talking to believer in the church called Corinth, the Corinthians, and he's encouraging them and letting them know that he knows the God of comfort. He knows that whatever he have gone through, it is for them and for many and still for us to know the God of comfort. And that's why he says in verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. That's what he's saying. We do not lose heart, but there are so many but in the Bible. If we start counting, there's like over 8,000 but. I'm not talking about human but that often make us to think, but. Sometimes we are curious, sometimes we are not sure, sometimes we are saying, but, I don't want to do it, it's too hard. But if this happened. So, Paul said, but through our outer man is dying, decaying or dying, yet our inner man is being renewed every day, day by day. And then he talk about verse 17 saying, for momentarily light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory for far beyond we can ever comprehend. While we are looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporarily, just like a fog. You can see, and it's next minute the sun's shine hit the fog and it's gone. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul is talking about the hidden things that human mind is unable to see. Remember last time when Elisha, the prophet Elisha from the Old Testament, telling his servant, a prophet under training, he's saying, Elisha, wake up. The armies have surrounded us. And he said, those who are with us more than those who are against us. So we have a company of army of God. Angels. Plus, there's so many things have not seen. As we were talking in a junior camp, what is your imagination of heaven? What is your imagination in the presence of Jesus? What you wanna do? And often, or I can say honestly, human imagination is a gift of God, but sometimes it's not enough to understand what we will see that is not have shown to us. So as Paul is talking about, we do not lose heart, he starts this chapter saying the same thing. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. He's saying, therefore, since we have this ministry, the burden God have given to him, the task God have given to him, the purpose, the aim, the high aim, I want to encourage you guys through Paul's life. Learn to dream great. To learn to aim high. I don't know, I read somewhere in the history, somebody was a shoemaker and he had a dream, desire, and aim to become a president in a nation somewhere. And guess what? And he become one day president of country. Sewing a shoe, but he have the desire. And I remember when I was working in the market and disgraced by Gentile and saying, you are worthless piece of, you know the French word. So you are nothing, you are dung. You have a no value, you have a no reputation, you have nothing. They were treating like worse than animals. And I knew deep down in my heart, God created me for purpose. And my desire was, I want to speak English. God, if you can use me, even with my baggage, even with my family background and the hurt and the reputation, all kind of stuff, if you can use, please use me. I remember the passage from the Old Testament when the God's on the throne and all the cherubim and the angels saying, holy, holy, almighty God. And Isaiah was listening and he was there and he heard. And then there was a question, who will go? And he said, I will. And I said, Lord, excuse me. I don't have an education that you need it, but I know. If Peter can change more than 3,000 people with one path, one sermon. If you can use Peter, you can use me too. So I was praying, God use me. And I start praying and praying and praying and praying, and guess what? I'm speaking English language. Left my school in the fifth grade, depending on the power of prayer and asking God. And I'm grateful there's a great part was played and still continually playing in my life to learn English language. And that is an invisible hero that often not recognized. My wife. She's beautiful. She's awesome. At the same time, she's my crown. Sometime, she's a sharp nail. Why? To keep me on the track. So you need someone that understands you in your life. So I'm grateful for my wife. So Paul saying, therefore, since we have this ministry, the calling, the burden he has, do you ever imagine a person know everything that he's going to face? If I tell you, hey, come to Pakistan and you will be murdered so and so day, you will say, heck no, I'm not coming. I lost my passport. Hey, I'm not coming. I got disease. I'm not coming. I'm not coming. I know what's going to happen. Paul knew. Paul knew when we look at the scripture that the pain, the suffering, the things he's going to experience in his life. Let's look at that passage and I will ask somebody to read that because my English is sometime mumbo jumbo. So, Paul was told by Jesus Christ what he's going to face on the road of life. What he's going to going to face when he go through the hard and dark valley of life. So, this passage found in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 16. And that was the time when Jesus was talking to Hananiah, and he's telling him, hey, go and see that person, and he is one of mine, chosen one. And they were hesitating, hey, he's the killer. He's the killer of Christians, and he's the one who drag Christians down. He's the one who, you know, do all kind of crazy stuff. So Paul was told by Jesus Christ what he's going to face when he will live for him. So somebody read aloud. Go ahead, sir. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Jesus said to Paul, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. He knew that he's going to be murdered. He knew that he's going to be prisoned. He knew that he is going to be tortured for his faith. Just imagine Paul knowing that. The other blessing thing in Paul's life, he also knew his day of his departure, when he's going to be apart from this whole earth and to be with his Savior. He knew that. And Bible record for us, there's many other people knew that they are going to be with their Savior, their Redeemer, their Creator. People like Elijah, he knew that he's going to be with one who said, I am the I am, that is my name. Enoch knew that one day he will be with him without experience death. So Paul was one of those. Even Moses. Moses was a little bit, I think he knew about that too. That he's not going to go to the promised land and he will die. So Paul knew that, and he was knowing this all fact, and he did not lose his heart. Or the other ways, we never give up. That's the easiest translation from EVE. Do not lose hand. The other translation says, we do not give up. So Paul knew his ministry, knew his task, knew everything, what he's going through, what he's going to face. And he lived for Christ. That's amazing. And when he was writing believers about, saying, therefore we do not lose heart. We suffer. We go through pain. We go through all kind of things. And probably the believer of his time, they were probably thinking he lost his mind. What he's talking about is uncomprehension, that someone go through this. You want to see Paul's life he recorded to tell them to believe what he went through knowingly? Let's open up another passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul knew that he's going to be a persecuted many way. He knew that. And as a believer, you should also know that. Jesus said to his disciples, they hate me, they will hate also you too. Because you are not of this world, you are from other world. The minute we believe in Jesus Christ, we become alien to this world. Not alien like a zombie walking dead, no. The real alien that is sent as the ambassador, Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:20, 21 and 17 and 18. And then Ephesians chapter 2 talks about verses 19, 20, 21. That we are longing and looking for our heavenly house with the heavenly family. So Paul knew that he's going to be persecuted and maybe he have to tell people. There's so many things we don't like to tell, but sometimes you need to tell. I have many stories to tell. Sometimes I don't. But sometimes it is needed to tell to light up the fire in believer's heart. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 22 we can start. He's talking to believers and telling them, convincing them, because the false teacher came and trying to dishonor Paul's ministry, trying to disrupt the unity, trying to do everything that is, will not lead to united or unity. So they are doing everything. He's behind his back and doing everything they can destroy the reputation. Maybe you are sometime a victim of that. And I often face that too. But I will say to myself, hey, I don't have a reputation, so what? Why should bother? Because I got Jesus Christ and he is my defender and my advocate and he will take care. And that's happened every day, every moment, every second in the throne room of God by a big bully called Satan. Go before God and tell him everything and every secret the way he tell, probably saying, God, you don't know? I know. My son has been taking care of that. He's fully paid. So there's no doubt. So Paul saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 22, are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelite? So am I. Are they descended of Abraham? So am I. Are they servant of Christ? I speak as if I'm insane. He's the best of best. And a good example for us to look at him. And then he said, I more so, in far more labor. Now he's going to give account what he went through, what he heard when Jesus said, you are mine, and go and tell the Gentiles, tell what I have done, what you have done, what is God is doing through you. Tell the message, tell the story, what happened to you. So he's saying in 23 subpart 2, in far more imprisonment, Bible record, some imprisonment, but we don't know how many. So he went through the imprisonment. He was a prisoner, and we have no idea what happened in prisons when somebody against his free will captures and made to do everything against his will. Pakistani prisons are horrible, especially the prison we have nearby our city called Blackwater. The whole ground is cursed with the sour water. And there's acres, acres and acres and hundreds of hundreds of acres they put that big prisons. And most of the time they use a black water prison to scare people. They have a lice and mosquito this big. When they put people in E block, that's the E block is, there's a square box of cemented wall and only one door to go in and little hole to receive the light. And you eat there and you do everything there. And you have no pants. So they scare people over there in Pakistan. They're saying, If you do evil, you will face black water prison. So in prison, take so much horrible things place, especially when you are for your faith in prison. I remember one witness I was talking to him. He said when he became a believer and he was confessing Jesus, he put into E block for 3 weeks. 3 weeks he had to eat there, he had to poop there, and he was drinking pee that was given by the policeman. And his crime was because he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. So Paul talking about, in far more imprisonment, beat it time without numbers. We don't know how many times he was beat it. I remember one of them, my friend, his father was taken into custody of police and they start beating him. They start pulling his chest hair off and then also torturing his fingers with the plier and squeezing. And then put him on the cart and beating his palm, the feet, whatever call that in English. Yeah, the souls, the feet souls. Beating him to confess, to deny Jesus and swear Jesus falsely. So he said, beat it time without numbers, often in dangers of death. Verse 24, 5 times I received from the Jew 39 lashes. 3 times I was beat it with a rod. In Pakistan, in the Blackwater, they use a rod. When one tough prison or anyone who's trying to stand up, probably from this corner to back to Pastor Gene, that's the space. And 36 policemen have a long stick, probably 6 feet, and end is netted with silver. And they will make a prisoner walk, not walk, they will say, run. And they use a lot of dirty talk. They will say, run as fast you ever can run. And 36 people with sticks standing in a boat's way. And he have to run and they will shoot at him or swing at him those sticks. If he fall, they will not stop. So he have to run from that corner to the other corner to survive. So Paul saying, 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1, I was stoned. There was a lady in Pakistan in another Islamic country. She became a believer. There are so many stories, and she was stoned to death. And it is a horrible death. Sometime, they will dig the hole, put you in, only your neck is out. And you are being stoned until you take last breath. So Paul is saying, I was once stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been, frankly, dangerous journeys. In the dangers of from the rivers, dangers from the robber, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentile, dangers in city, dangers in wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brother. And then he's saying, I have been labor and hardship through many sleepless night. Just ask yourself, you go to bed 12 o'clock and wake up and then you have a horrible face and you're trying to, inject yourself with the coffee, trying to stay up. Paul was not injecting himself with the coffee. Or Monster. Or anything else. Through many sleepless nights, I hunger and thirst, and often without food, in cold and exposed, naked, hungry, thirsty, cold, and things going on. Apart from such extremist things, there is a daily pressure on me of the concern for all the churches, to all the places he went, all the life he touched, all the people come to the saving knowledge of Christ, all the people he was discipling, all the leadership, all things above that was pressurizing him. His soul was like in a, have you seen, you know, no, you don't haven't seen yet, maybe. Have you seen the orange machine? You squeeze all the juice. You use two hands and then take all the juice out. He was like in a spiritual mill, that his soul was always under pressure behalf of others. And when he write that my pain, my suffering is momentarily, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth to them. He's telling the truth to us, that if he is able to go through, as we often record and often wear a necklace in our neck and a bracelet on our wrist and saying, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He was doing all things through Christ, who was the main source of his power, his strength, his hope. And he was the one who was coming to him saying, Paul, I got your back. Read Paul's life. Read Paul's life, and he was a wonderful and marvelous believer that ever lived. And God wants more Pauls. More Pauls in this age. He's looking. He's looking like prophet Ezekiel said somewhere in chapter 30 something that God is looking for someone to stand in the hole. Stand in the hole to pray, stand up for the faith, stand up for what he or she believes. So when Paul is saying that pain that he's facing is temporarily and the thing is not seen is eternal, it is true. You have a reason not to believe me, but you have no excuse to not believe Paul. Is it true according to history? So Paul went through that all knowingly. And then the other blessing, he knew that he's going to be one day with his Savior. Let's look at that passage. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul also, he was preparing himself, knowingly that one day he had to stand before Jesus Christ to give him account, the blessing, the privilege, the power, the knowledge, and the things that he was granted by God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. Now he's talking to one of them, his spiritual son, Timotheus. That's the word we use in Urdu, Timotheus. Timothy. So he's talking to him, encouraging him. He said, do not let anybody, you know, look on you and put you down, and God have not given you the spirit of fear and intimidating or anything else or discouraging. He have given the spirit to you to be encouraged and to be wise and to be live up to the way God have designed to you. So he's talking to him, and he's knowing that one day sooner he's going to be leaving him. Just like Jesus. Jesus knew before he's going to be crucified to be with his Father. He knew, and he's told his disciple and they freaked out. So he's talking to Timothy, he's saying, but you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. He's not being a knowledge full of head talking down on Timothy, saying, live hard and endure suffering. He's been there, he went through, and he have experiences. He have all the marks from the beating and all kind of things. And he's telling him, endure hardship. Do the work of evangelist. We are evangelist. We all have that calling to tell other. What does evangelist do? Talk about his Savior. Hey, I was unloved and I found one who loved me. Hey, I was disgraced. I found someone who showered me with grace. Hey, I was did not know my identity. I find someone who gave me a new life and new identity. Hey, I was without everything, and I now know somebody who have given me everything and become a poor for me and die for me and crucify me and spit it on him for me and shamed him everything behalf of me. And his name is Jesus. So that's the work of evangelists. And we all are evangelists. Riley, you have a job to do. Mr. Easy, life is not easy. Get ready and tough. And you too, Mango, you have an awesome name. Find out the meaning of your name. And if it's bad, don't care. Because there's someone lived long ago. Old Testament. Jezebel. No. What was the person? Pastor Gene wrote a small book about the prayer of Jezebel. Jabez. Don't worry about your name. Don't worry about your meanings. Find the meanings in Christ and live up to that. Everybody have a purpose. Everybody have a calling. And that's what Paul telling his spiritual son. And I know sometime I have a little bit glimpse and so much little time, and I can see little bit. Pastor Gene, he have often that pressure. The life he have touched in China, in Africa, in India, in Pakistan, and many other places. He have that same pressure that he want to train many Timothys, many Timotheus. Maybe you are one of them here, or two of them, or three of them, or five of them, or four of them, or maybe all of them. Everything cost here in U.S. But I believe he will not charge you a penny for training you. And we all know we have a destiny. We all know we have a time. And our days are numbered according to God's word. So Pastor Gene have that desire. Pastor Gene have that pressure to train many. So there will be not one Gene. There will be a million Gene to go and conquer. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, like in Pakistan. It breaks my heart, and sometimes it's much pressure on me when people saying, we are naming our kid after your name. Because we want him to live like you. And I'm saying, hey, I'm decayable. I will decay. You can give example of me, but the ultimate hero that will stand forever, his name is Jesus. Teach him or her about him. I'm doing my 25%. God may be requiring from him or her 100%. I'm doing my best. God is requiring him or her excellent. So Paul is talking to his Timothy and Timotheus and talking to him saying, fulfill your ministry. He's not requesting, he's not suggesting, he's not making a statement. It's not just, you know, a word from out of blue. He's saying, fulfill your ministry. Like in the mood of a command. Chris, fulfill your ministry. God save you 5 times from those horrible operations. And tell that story. That your God is mighty. Tell others. That is your ministry. So that's the way he's talking to Timothy. Because he's known. Verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. Soon I'm going to leave you. Just like Jesus said, I will be with my Father. Soon I'm going to be, you know, departure, and I have fought the good fight. That is an awesome statement coming from the Paul mouth. I have fought the good fight. And often I study Paul, and that's my desire. Paul, as Father, he knew that his day is coming. But if it's your will, I like to do that. I like to know that beforehand that I am going to see your glorious face. So Paul's saying, I have fought the good fight. He lived his life as a warrior by faith, lived by faith, went through by faith, even the things he not seen. And actually have seen a lot. He was the person who went in heaven, in a throne room heaven, the third heaven, saw and heard the things that man can't handle. I have finished the course, the race. You know the word for race? I was looking up last night the word race. Most time is translated conflict. Conflict. Combat. He's saying, I have finished the conflict, the course, the race. I have kept the faith. He did not hide the faith like the story in a prodigal son, before prodigal son, that there was a money hidden under the bushel. He didn't hide that way. How you can keep the faith? By telling your faith to others. Don't try to hide. This little letter shine, let us shine, let us shine, let your life shine. And it's not your light, it is the light of Jesus Christ. And it's not your power, it's the power of God, the Holy Spirit. It is not your wisdom, it's the wisdom of God, divine wisdom, that is handed to you. In a 66 book, a lot of promises, encouragement, inspiring story, and encouragement. If you don't know how to pray, start reading the book of Psalms. He will teach you how to pray, how to worship, how to sing, how to talk, how to have devotion with the Almighty God, and it will cost you nothing. You don't have to buy a package for Verizon or TNT. No, it will cost you time, but it will grant you heavenly wisdom. If you are going through terrible situations and having a hard time to overcome, study the book of Job. How he overcome. How he was looking, the things are not seeing. So, Paul knew that, and he kept the faith. We are living in unwise world. You want to be a wise? You want to be a wise? Read Proverbs. Read Proverbs about your enemy, how he tricked you, how he tried to destroy your focus. That's why. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and finish your race. Continue to fight the good fight to keep up your faith. Or the other word, keep up the faith or keep up the good work. And verse 8, he's saying, in the future there is a laid up for me the crown of righteousness. You know, there's so many rewards in the Bible, and there's so many, many, many rewards. If you give a cup of water to a disciple, guess what? Jesus will never forget that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 or 42. If you are being persecuted, Jesus telling his disciples, sitting on the mountain and giving a mountain of the sermon, and he's teaching them, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. If you are persecuted, rejoice. Rejoice. Don't have a self-pity party. Oh, my life ruined. I lost my girlfriend because Jesus. I lost this job because Jesus. I lost this. I lost that. I have this pain, that pain. And now I'm going to hate Jesus. He said, if you are persecuted for my name's sake, rejoice because your reward is great in heaven. And there's a five crowns. This is the first one, with one of them, the crown of righteousness for those who will suffer for the sake of his name. Are you prepared? The five first words from Mark. Salvation, preparation, determination, action, and reward. Yeah, Pastor Gene already said that. So many Christians saying, I'm not doing that reward, not doing this for reward. I'm doing it. I want to be in his presence to offer him. Hey, thank you. Then he will say, well done. In Pakistan, whenever we go in somebody's homes to meet or see somebody, we don't go empty hand. Because it is like a disgracing somebody. You go with some goodies, sweet, to say, glad to meet you. So when you are going to see Jesus, if you are not doing this and that and living a Christian way of life, for the reward, what do you have to offer? He's not going to say, hey, give me your unlimited of Verizon. No. What are you going to offer him? Jesus, I have an iPad with so many good looking pictures. What are you going to offer him? Paul saying the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on the day. And not only to me. He don't want to miss that mystery, that truth. Especially those who are saying, I'm not doing that for Jesus or for reward. I'm doing that because I'm a good person. Heck yeah. Not only for me, but also to all who have loved his appearings. Are you waiting for Jesus Christ? Girls, as you are deep down in your heart waiting for your beloved to be with you, are you waiting for your eternal beloved who's going to coming back soon? That's his saying. Also to all who have loved his appearing. His coming, looking for Him and waiting for Him, longing for Him, just like Psalm 34. My soul is thirsty for You and my soul longs for You. When everybody was putting Him down and persecuting Him, and He's saying, my persecutor saying, where is Your God? Do you ever hear that phrase in your mind by Satan or sometime by people? Where's your God? You used to worship Him and He lead you in this mess. Or sometime your God is dead. No. He's alive. He's alive, God, and powerful. So Paul said, crown of righteousness is waiting for me, and not only for me, and also those who are waiting for Jesus Christ to come. So there's many crowns and there's many rewards. Like the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, there's a churches, there's a seven rewards for overcomer. For the overcomers, the one who will overcome have an opportunity to eat from the tree that is in the paradise of God. One who will overcome, his life will be written on the pillar as a history that tell the story of Jesus Christ, that how He have delivered him or her. Have a secret stone and name. Wow. Do you ever have a question about God, about the thing? I have a lot. I have a question to ask Jesus. Oh, not Jesus. What was His experience when in open eyes He was going from earth to the third heaven and enjoying that whole scenery? What was His experience? I want to have a little bit chit-chat with Him and ask Him, hey, what was the face when you saw a living God hear my voice and the fire came and those people who were beating themselves, what does their face look like when you saw the living God show His power? I want to ask that guy who was dead long ago, and then Elisha, who was anointed with a double portion of anointing. When his dead body was replaced in the grave, dead body become alive. I want to have those conversations with those, you know, experience. What was their story? So I have a lot of heavenly question, people will say weird question. Heavenly questions. Those are awesome questions. If you have a question, I know you have many questions about worldly things. A lot of worldly things. We are in the time line. 10:30? Hey, 3:22 can change everything. So we got 3 minutes. Let's close Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. There's a lot to go through, but can't wait to be in the presence of Jesus. There will be no time, or there will be probably time, but we don't have to take a break to inject ourselves with Coca-Cola. To say, inject me 2 Coca-Cola so I can stay up. Paul's talking to believer and he says, verse 1, therefore if you have been arise up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where is Christ, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. If you set your goal on heavenly things, earthly things will follow you. are running earthly after earthly things, you are missing the blessing. Because you're the one who moved from the giver of life. You're the one who's moving from that said, everything come from above, and he is the one who is the only good. So don't run from the giver. Run to the giver and everything will follow to you. And that's what Paul, in my understanding, saying, set your mind on the things above, heavenly things. Not the things on earth, because those things on the earth are perishable, temporarily, and for a moment, and then they will be gone, like this. So let's pray, and we will close, and there's another inspiring video. That's for all the evangelists. You're all called by God to do his will. And sometimes you question, what is his will? His will, first, to accept Jesus Christ. The second, to tell others. And that's the work of evangelists. Don't say, I don't have this, I don't have that. You got everything you ever can imagine. All the Bible software, all the great teachers, all the encouragement, all the goodies in the United States, you don't have to bother. A light will go off, or water will run out, or I will stink. You got deodorant, you got everything. So, don't miss out to give up yourself to Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you so much. Bless these all seeds that we drop it through you, your word, on our heartland. And bless us and let those seeds, statements, commands, and phrases, and verses, and examples to grow in our life to become like your Son, become like others who have gone before us. And bless us with this video. And your name be glorified. In Christ's name. Amen.